summer flowers bloom. Hello, and welcome to the Flowchart Space. And welcome to those of you listening through WGXC Hands On Radio. We are thrilled to be a streaming partner. I'm sorry you're not here with us. We have wonderful cookies and wine and a great exhibit of Ashbury Ephemera right now in the Flowchart Space here in Hudson, New York. If you are listening and nearby, come on by 348 Warren Street. And either way, we hope to see you at future events. You can sign up at flowchartfoundation.org. I hope I can say that on the radio. And it is my great pleasure. In just a moment, I'm going to cut the music. Actually, I'm going to do that right now before I introduce our entertainment for today. There we go. That is better. We have a special treat for you, two amazing musicians, Volker Getz and Zach Layton, and our own local celebrity, Loki, who, by the way, has an amazing exhibit that just opened yesterday at Lightforms Gallery, so do be sure to go over and see that. It's up through January 7th, so you've got time to run over and see his amazing designs. And what we're going to be doing is performing some Ashbury poems for you with amazing music underneath that is going to be improvised live for your pleasure. So without further ado, here's our trio.
Hello, 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 everybody. I'm going to tip this up just a bit. So I am a new, I've been just introduced to John Ashbery through this invitation. So I actually will be doing my best to honor the poetry that I have in front of me tonight. So thank you all for being here. Again, my name is Loki, and we're going to get started with the first poem called This Room. The room I entered was a dream of this room. Surely all those feet on the sofa were mine. The oval portrait of a dog was me at an early age. Something shimmers, something is hushed up. We had a macaroni for lunch every day, except on Sunday when a small quail was induced to be served to us. Why do I tell you these things? You're not even here. That one is called This Room. Thank you. A little reflection on this room. I love the idea that we're not listening to a written poem for the sake of reciting, but almost like we're getting a chance to dive into the mind of the poet. And then there's this realization at the end, like, who am I even talking to? I must be talking to myself. No one else is actually here. You know what I mean? So I thought that was pretty interesting. All right, next one we're going to do here is called Uptick. We were sitting there, and I made a joke about how it doesn't dovetail time. 1 minute running out, faster than the one in front, it catches up too. That way, I said, there can be no waste. Waste is virtually eliminated. To come back for a few hours to the present subject, a painting, looking like it was seen, half turning around, slightly apprehensive. But it has to pay attention to what's up ahead, a vision. Therefore, poetry dissolves in brilliant moisture and reads us to us, a faint notion. Too many words, but precious. That one is called Uptick. Waste is what really stood out for me in that one. But also just the idea that you can reflect on the amount of time you spend appreciating something, and that the ending was about how we're saying all these things that could be too much, but at the same time we can love them. So these are just my reflections. I don't know what he was thinking. All right, our next one here is called No Longer Very Clear. Is it true that I can no longer remember very well the time when we first began to know each other? However, I do remember very well the first time we met. You walked in sunlight, holding a daisy. You said, "Children make unreliable witnesses." Now, so long after that time, I keep the spirit of it throbbing still. The ideas are still the same, and they expand to fill vast antique cubes. My daughter was reading one just the other day. She said, "How like pellucid statues, Daddy." Or like an engine. In this house of blues, the cold creeps stealthily upon us. I do not dare to do what I fantasize doing. With time, the blue congeals into room-like purple that takes the shape of alcoves, landings. Everything is like something else. I should have waited before I learned this. That one is no longer very clear. I have a daughter as well, and we have very interesting conversations around life and dreams and exploring places that no one else really understands. So I love hearing about daughter-daddy relationships in poetry. I'm going to let these guys do a little bit of jamming, and then I'm going to continue. We'll get a little break in between, absorb the words that we've heard so far, and let you guys have some fun. But thank you.
Thank you.
That was amazing. Let's give some love to that. So we're going to turn this up a notch for this next one, since I got a little inspiration from what we just heard over here on the trumpet. This one is called Farm Implements and the Rutabagas in a Landscape. The first of the undecoded messages read, Popeye sits in thunder, unthought of. From that shoebox of an apartment, from livid curtain's hue, a tangram emerges, a country. Meanwhile, the sea hag was relaxing on a green couch. How pleasant to spend one's vacation in La Casa de Popeye. She scratched her cleft chin's solitary hair. She remembered spinach and was going to ask Wimpy if he had brought any spinach. My love, he intercepted. The plains are decked out in thunder. Today, and it shall be as you wish. He scratched the part of his head under his hat. The apartment seemed to grow smaller. But what if no pleasant inspiration plunges us now to the stars? For this is my country. Suddenly, they remembered how it was cheaper in the country. Wimpy was thoughtfully cutting open a number two can of spinach when the door opened and Sweepy crept in. How pleasant! And tears were unavailing, it read. But Sweepy looked morose. A note was pinned to his bib. Thunder and tears are unavailing, it read. Henceforth, shall Popeye's apartment be but remembered space? Toxic? Salivarius? Whole? Or scratched? Olive came hurtling through the window. Its geranium scratched her long thigh. I have news, she gasped. Popeye forced, as you know, to flee the country. One musty, gusty evening by the schemes of his wizened duplicate father, jealous of the apartment and all that it contains, myself as spinach. In particular, heaves bolts of loving thunder at his own astonished becoming, rupturing the pleasant. A perigo of our years, no more shall be pleasant. Rays of the sun, refresh your sense of growing old. Nor the scratched tree trunks of mossy foliage, only immaculate darkness and thunder. She grabbed Sweet Pea. I'm taking the bread to the country. But you can't do that. He hasn't even finished his spinach, urged the sea hag, looking fearfully around the apartment. But Olive was already out of earshot. Now the apartment succumbed to a strange new hush. Actually, it was quite pleasant here, thought the sea hag. If this is all we need, fear from spinach, then I don't mind so much. Perhaps we can invite Alice to the goon over, she scratched. One dug pensively, but Wimpy is such a country bumpkin, always burping like that. minute at first, the thunder soon filled the apartment. It was domestic thunder, the color of spinach. Popeye chuckled and scratched his bones. It sure was pleasant to spend a day in the country. The title of that one again was Farm Implements and Rutabagas in a Landscape. Thank you. All right, we got a nice long one here. I think we'll do this one with a nice chill energy. You guys ready for a long one? Should we take a little music break or should we just go right into this? All right, here we go. Taking a deep breath. This one is called Pyrography. Yeah, this is my first time reading this, of course. All right, here we go. Out here on a cottage grove, it matters. The galloping wind balks at its shadow. The carriages are drawn forward under a sky of fumed oak. This is America calling. The mirroring of state to state, of voice to voice, on the wires. The force of colloquial greetings like golden pollen sinking into the afternoon breeze. In service, the stars, the sweet corruption thrives. The page of dusk turns like a creaking, revolving stage in Warren, Ohio. If this is the way it's left, let's leave. They agree, and soon the slow boxcar journey begins, gradually accelerating until the gyrating fans of suburbs enfolding the darkness of the cities are remembered only as a recurring tick. And midway, we meet the disappointed returning ones without its being able to stop us in the headlong night toward the nothing of the coast. Apollina's, the house dozed and seemed to wonder why through the Pacific haze and the dreams alternately glow and grow dull. Why be hanging on here, like kites circling, slipping on a ramp of air, but always circling? But the variable cloudiness is pouring it on, flooding back to you like the meaning of a joke. Aha. The land wasn't immediately appealing. We built it partly over the fake ruins in the image of ourselves, an arch that terminates in mid-keystone and crumbling stone pier for laundresses and open-air theater never completed and only partially designed. How are we to inhabit this space from which forth wall is invariably missing, as in a stage set or dollhouse, except by staying as we are, in lost profile, facing the stars, with dozens of as yet unrealized projects, and a strict sense of time running out, of evening presenting the tactfully folded over bill. And we fit rather too easily into it, becoming transparent, almost ghosts. One day, the birds and animals in the pasture have absorbed the color the density of the surroundings, the leaves are alive and too heavy with life. A long period of adjustment followed. In the cities, at the turn of the century, they knew about it, but were careful not to let on as the iceman and the milkman disappeared down the block and the postman shouted his daily rounds. The children under the trees knew but all the fathers returning home. On the streetcars after a satisfying day at the office undid it, the climate was still floral and all the wallpaper and a million homes all over the land conspired to hide it. One day, we thought of painting furniture, of how it just slightly changes everything in the room and in the yard outside, and how, if we were going to be able to write the history of our time, starting with today, it would be necessary to model all these unimportant details so as to be able to include them. Otherwise, the narrative would have that flat, sandpapered look the sky gets out in the Middle West toward the end of the summer. The look of wanting to be back out before the argument has been resolved, and at the same time to save appearances so that tomorrow will be pure. Therefore, since we have to do our business in spite of these things, why not make it in spite of everything? That way, maybe the feeble lakes and swamps of the backcountry will get plunged into the circuit, and not just the major events, but the whole incredible mass of everything happening simultaneously and pairing off. Channeling itself into history will unroll as we carefully and casually as a conversation in the next room, and the purity of today will invest us like a breeze, only to be hard, spare, ironical, something one can tip one's hat to and still get some use out of. The parade is turning into our street. My stars, the burnished uniforms and prismatic features of this instant belong here. The land is pulling away from the magic. Glittering coastal towns to an unforementioned rendezvous with August and December. The hunch is it will always be this way. The look, the way things first scared you in the nightlight and later turned out to be, yet still capable, all the same, of a narrow fidelity to what you and they wanted to become. No sighs like Russian music, only a vast unraveling out towards the junctions and to the darkness beyond, to these bare fields built at today's expense. That one is pyrography. Thank you. I think reflecting is how we relate. We can hear things, but I feel like the importance, I'm an artist, I'm a poet too, and reflecting is like the relationship you have with the words. And those are his thoughts in his own words, but I take from it the idea of traveling from this coast to the other coast, making stops in between, and just reflecting on life. And there's a controversy that's brought up in all of that. And it's about, to me, just so many ways that we're experiencing life and so many places that we've been. And we take away from it sometimes good things, sometimes bad things. But it's still life, and we can enjoy the fact that we're here experiencing it. So that was beautiful to me. So thank you for that one. I'm going to give these guys a little jam session again. Spread this thing out a little bit. That was a nice long one. All right. Have some music intermission. I'm going to take a couple of sips of my wine. You can do the same out there, whether you're here or at home. Yes. So if you didn't hear that, that was actually a poem that was written for his bicentennial. Commissioned by the Department of the Interior for the catalog, for the exhibition that they commissioned for him as he traveled around the country. Yes. The Bicentennial of 76, this was written for that, and that's probably why it just hit so hard. Yeah, it was something really deep about that one. Not the fact that it was long, the fact that it had so much depth and so many layers about our country in it. So thank you for that.
I'll just also add quickly that for those who are here or who will visit soon, we have a drawing by Larry Rivers of the first three stanzas of that poem hanging on the wall right now.
And on that note, Yes, that was great. I love it. It had this, like, you can like meditate to it. You know, it was like transporting me somewhere, you know? I like that. Thank you, guys. Can we give them another hand for that? So we're going to do one more poem, and then we're going to have a nice moment of mingling and chatting, all right? So this one right here is called 40s Flick. The shadow of the Venetian blind on the painted wall, shadows of the snake plant and cacti, the plastered animals, focus the tragic melancholy of the bright stare into nowhere. A hole like the black holes in space. In bra and panties, she sidles to the window. Zip, up with the blind. A fragile street scene offers itself with wafer-thin pedestrians who know where they are going. The blind comes down slowly. The slats are slowly tilted up. Why must it always end this way? A daze with woman reading, with the ruckus of her hair, and all that is unsaid about her pulling is back to her. With her into the silence, that night alone can't explain. Silence of the library, of the telephone with its pad. But we didn't have to reinvent these either. They had gone away into the plot of a story, the art part, knowing what important details to leave out and the way character is developed. Things too real to be of much concern, hence artificial. Yet, now, all over the page, the indoors with the outside becoming part of you, as you find you had never left off laughing at death. The background, dark vine at the edge of the porch. 40s Flick, you people. Thank you. So before I step out of here for a sec, I just want to also say I'm being introduced to this poet, and I love when you get introduced to someone new and you find you have a relationship with them somehow in the way that they think and the things that they bring up. I served in the military for some time in the past, and was stationed actually in northern Italy. So when I started reading this poem about the Venetian blinds, I actually have a relationship with that experience, because in Italy, in northern Italy, they had these things called roulades there. You guys know what roulades are? So instead of regular blinds that we have here, they have these things that are housed in a box, and when you pull on the string to let them loose, they slam down and make this really loud snapping sound, and it's like having hurricane shutters. It blacks out your house, and they're really cool, because if you're, you know, one of those people who gets a siesta, which Italy gets, you can come home in the middle of the day, drop those roulades down, and take a nap in the dark in the middle of the day. So that was actually what I got from those Venetian blinds in that poem. Brought me right back to Italy. So I just want to thank John Ashbery for that memory. Thank you.
Thank you. This is my favorite time of year. Can you feel the soul? It's a soulful, soulful Christmas. It can feed your heart and soothe your soul. It's a soulful, soulful Christmas. One that could surely make you whole. You just sit back and relax and let your mind take you for a stroll. Make sure
look ahead. I make all the little girls happy Children, hurt people like stars are shining and it's winter in the air. It feels like it's a holiday cause I see it everywhere. Oh, someone tell me all the things we're gonna do. I love to celebrate and have some fun as long as I'm with you. I made a wish last night that we would be together. It sounds so magical, I hope it lasts forever. Oh, someone tell me all the things we're gonna do. I love to celebrate and have some fun as long as I'm with you. The stars are shining and it's winter in the air. Feels like it's holiday, I see it everywhere. Oh, someone tell me all the things we're gonna do. I love to celebrate and have some fun as long as I'm with you. I made a wish last night that we would be together. It sounds so magical, I hope it lasts forever. Oh, someone tell me all the things we're gonna do. I love to celebrate and have some fun as long as I'm with you.
Mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? Donde está Santa Claus? And the toys that he will leave. Mamacita, oh, where is Santa Claus? I'll look for him because it's Christmas Eve. I know that I should be the sleepy, but maybe he's not far away. So out of the window I'm peeping, hoping to see him in his sleigh. I hope he won't forget to crack the castanet and to his reindeer say, oh Pancho, oh Prince, oh Pedro, oh Prince, ole, ole. Mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? Oh, where is Santa Claus? It's Christmas Eve.
Thank you.
just do two more. Hello, hello. And we are back. Welcome back from my nice little break. We got a chance to eat some of this mountain of cookies that you guys can't see on the radio, but there's this serious mountain of cookies over here that you're missing out on. And I'm going to do two more before we get out of here because it turns out Mother Nature wants to make sure we have a white Christmas, I think, and is dumping a whole bunch of snow on us today. So I want to say thank you to Mother Nature because one of these poems I'm going to end with has Santa in it. But before we get to that, I want to have one before that. We're going to do two more. This one is called Poem at the New Year. You guys ready? Do you need a second? We're gonna do an a cappella one for this one. We'll end it with music. All right, there we go. He's gonna accompany us in a sec. Poem at the New Year. Once out on the water in the clear, early 19th century twilight, you asked time to suspend its flight. If wishes could beget more than sobs, that would be my wish for you, my darling, my angel. But other principles prevail in this glum haven, don't they? If that's what it is, then the wind fell of its own accord. In this case, we have snow falling, right? We went out and saw that it had actually happened. The season stood motionless, alert. How still the drop was on the burr, I know not. I come all packaged and serene, yet I keep losing things. I wonder about Australia. Is it anything like Canada? Do pigeons flutter? Is there a strangeness there to complete the one in me? Or must I relearn my filing system? Can we trust others to indict us who see us only in the evening rush hour and never stop to think? Oh, I was so bright about you, my songbird once. Now, cattails immolated in frozen swamp are about all I have time for. The days are so polarized, yet time itself is off-center. At least that's how it feels to me. I know it as well as all the streets in the map of my imagined industrial city, but it has its own way of slipping past. There was never any fullness that was going to be. You stood in line for things, and the sword light was impotent. Spiky was one adjective that came to mind. Yet for all its raised or lowered levels, I approach this canal. Its time was right in winter. There was pipe smoke in cafes, and outside the great ashen birds streamed from lettered display windows and waited a little way off. Another chance. It never became a gesture. That one is called Poem at the New Year. Thank you. Reflection time. I actually already said it. When I first started reading this, I started thinking so much about the weather we're having right now and the effect it has on us. I think our energy changes as soon as the weather changes. When we start to look outside, we start to shift to how to embrace or prepare ourselves mentally and physically for the weather. And in this case, with the snow falling, I think the first reaction is, how much is going to come down? Is it going to get in the little crick in my collar as I walk out there? Am I going to be able to keep that one part of my collar from getting snow in it, where you feel that cold little, you ever get that feeling where it just hits that one little place where you didn't put the scarf? That's what happens when I look outside and see the snow. Then, of course, if I'm driving, I'm thinking, hopefully it's not too slippery and I can make it home. So that's why I'm cutting this a little short, so we actually have a chance to get out of here and get back to our home safely. But we have one more before we end this. It's called So Long, Santa. Kids, you might want to go play games or something. You were good to us, but we've got to think these things out for ourselves. Check in with you later. Why did I say that? Not everything has to be as big and as full as Earth. After you found $1 million in a slot, the boy persisted, dying without uncovering a lot. It's good to be painful, because it will have come around again, and we won't be ready. Barbara Allen's cruelty, the night wind biting at scarves. Pedestrians hurrying along. And if I so long for you as to make the original millennial blush go away, us back to our pets, things we had to learn at school, I'd be ashamed of my distance from you. But being indispensable as time and cures, just getting the right thing right for once. After finishing everything up, I pay a formal call to the broker. Sherry is drunk, and it will soon be time to think of the next set of circumstances. Oh, hell, everything is that way. This way, that way, twisted in the sun of endurance. The back way in then. The assertion of formality without a celebration next time. That's all any of us gets. Why I'm happy with you alone. Just us. Thank you. So long, Santa. Try to stay warm. Be safe. Enjoy the snow. Make a snowball. Make a snow angel and think about Christmas and Santa. Thank you, everyone.
So I should say I'm Jeffrey Leppendorf, Executive Director of the Flowchart Foundation, and let's give a final round of applause for Volker Getz, Zach Layton, and Loki. Thank you, WGXC. Hope you're all warm and healthy.